Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Monday, August 30th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. The past year has found many of us on Zoom for both personal and professional reasons, but mostly professional reasons. Many of us have begun to work from home as a result of the pandemic, and conversation often takes place in the media about the pros and cons of Zoom, how to use Zoom, how to more effectively use Zoom, how the future may be a lot more Zoom than in person, especially with reemergence of the Delta variant and perhaps other versions of the coronavirus. But one of the things we have not talked about, and one of the most important things I think in terms of self-esteem, is something that is now being called Zoom dysmorphia. So what is this? What happens to people who continuously look at themselves on a Zoom reflection? You know, looking at yourself on Zoom can be a lot like looking at yourself in a funhouse mirror. It's one thing to use your iPhone and to do FaceTime for a period of time in a predominantly non-professional setting, talk to your friends on FaceTime, talk to your family on FaceTime. We all know we look a little distorted. That's where selfie sticks come from, because obviously the best angle is up and tilted downward. But on Zoom, you're looking at yourself head on. And the distortions, unless you're really creative and really good and care enough to do something about it, are apparent. People's noses look distorted. They often look bigger than they are. People's eyes often look smaller than they are. And we're staring at ourselves for, in many cases, hours, sometimes 8 hours at a time. I know I do mediations on Zoom, and a mediation can easily be 8 hours long. And so for those 8 hours, I'm seeing myself. I'm looking at my reflection on Zoom. And today I read an interesting article, because there's two parts to this. One is mental health, and one is one's perception of oneself, which also leads to a mental health issue. So there was a study done, about to be published in the International Journal of Women's Dermatology, that surveyed 7,000 people. And of those 7,000, 71% indicated that they were anxious or stressed about returning to in-person activities. And 64% of them, 64% of 7,000 people had sought mental health support to do that, to get back to real-life in-person encounters. Now, the other part of this is that large numbers of people have been seeking out plastic surgery as a result of Zoom. And this is really the part that I wanted to focus on. You know, when Zoom is your mirror, when you have fundamentally a technological mirror that is reflecting back to you who you are in a distorted sense, and you look at that distortion day in and day out over a period of a year and a half, where your normal social interactions have been equally diminished or almost brought to non-existence, your reality becomes that Zoom screen reflection. And it's a really sad state of affairs when that's where we're getting our identity. Look, I'm as vain as the next person. When I have to do a Zoom mediation, you know, that morning I get up, I make sure my hair looks good, my makeup's on right. I do a pre-Zoom check with my camera to make sure that I'm looking as good as I can look. However, I don't get my identity of who I am from my reflection in Zoom. And I don't think that I need to fix my jowls or tighten my neck or get my nose done, which, by the way, are the three most popular things that people are coming to plastic surgeons for as a result of the image they've been looking at on Zoom for a year, year and a half. You know, it's a funny thing. For decades, in fact, I was in my 20s when I wrote an ebook called Too Many Secrets. And one of the things I said in that book is that living life alone, without a partner, without a spouse, without a child, is like living a life without a mirror. Because where you get a true reflection, not of what you look like, but of who you are, which is infinitely more important than what you look like, where you get that true reflection of who you are is from someone that you're intimate with, that you see every day, that you live with, that gets to know the good, the bad, and the ugly about you. Because people who live with you and who are in intimate relationships with you, and by intimate, I don't just mean sexual, I mean a child, can provide the same kind of mirroring, oftentimes even more brutal than a spouse, because children have a way of triggering the worst in you, which gives you an opportunity to better that and become the best of you. Living life without a human in your life is like living without a mirror. It's living without a true reflection. Now, I'm assuming that you're in a healthy relationship, right? Because you can be in a dysfunctional, highly dysfunctional, or abusive relationship, in which case the mirroring is as distorted as Zoom or that funhouse mirror I spoke of earlier. So I think we have to be careful about getting our self-images off of Zoom. And I think we also have to give credit to the theory that the technological world really inhibits and distorts the human-to-human, in-person world that is where healthier reflections come from. So be very aware if you've relied too much on Zoom, on your Zoom image, and even on how you feel based on the reactions of other people on Zoom or on social media, especially social media. Be aware of where you're getting your reality from. And it's why I always say, number one, think for yourself. And number two, learn how to self-source. Learn how to source within directly to your connection to Creator, because that's where the greatest truths will come from. The other story I wanted to cover in today's podcast is that Harvard University is getting a new chaplain. And that wouldn't be so newsworthy if the chaplain weren't an atheist. So let me just let that cook in your mind for a moment. The new chaplain to Harvard University is someone named Greg Epstein. He is a humanist chaplain. Now, let me just say two things. Let me give you two definitions. One of what a chaplain is, and number two, what humanism is. So I'm going to read you both definitions. A chaplain is traditionally a cleric, such as a minister, a priest, a pastor, a rabbi, or an imam, or a lay representative of a religious tradition attached to a secular institution like a hospital, a prison, a military unit, an intelligence agency, an embassy, a school, Harvard, a labor union, a business, a police department, a fire department, etc., or a private chapel. That's what a chaplain is. Notice the key words representative of a religious tradition. Now, what's humanism? Humanism is a progressive philosophy of life that without theism or other supernatural beliefs, affirms our ability and responsibility to live ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good. American Humanistic Association says that humanism is a rational philosophy informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. So a couple of things. Number one, I find a humanist chaplain to be an oxymoron, but that's just me. Secondly, Greg Epstein, the new humanist chaplain at Harvard, has written a book. And the book is called Good Without God. Now, I don't want to go into that too much, but let me say a couple of things. One, Greg Epstein is Jewish. He's Jewish by birth. He's Jewish by his ethnicity. He's Jewish by the fact that when you're born to a Jewish mother, you're Jewish for the rest of your life. I don't care what you do. It's passed through the bloodline of the mother. So he's a Jew who doesn't believe in God. Okay, I'm not faulting him. It's his choice. But he's about to give spiritual, for lack of a better word, direction at a progressive university to students who are looking for guidance around ethics, morals, and right behavior. Dennis Prager, who is an Orthodox Jew and who has Prager University online, if you don't know it, it's well worth a trip to Prager University or some of his YouTube videos. Dennis Prager is a brilliant man, admittedly deeply religious, but he's highly intelligent and logical, rational, reasonable, in addition to being dedicated to the orthodoxy of Judaism as he is. And he has a particular 5-minute video on YouTube, moral relativism and its relationship to God, something like that. If you Google those words on YouTube, you'll definitely find the one I'm talking about. And the point that Prager makes in that is that without a supreme being, without absolute laws and direction about what in fact is good or evil, it all becomes relative and subjective. And that there you lose all sense of evil and good if you don't have absolutes, because then what happens is everything is subject to someone's particular opinion about whether something is good or bad. And that becomes a slippery slope that ends in a very bad place. So I would say this. One of the things I read about Greg Epstein, however well-intentioned he may be, is that he was bragging that his child, since age 2, he's been showing his child the New York Times, reading the Times to his child. And recently his child got very excited because daddy's picture was in the New York Times and there was an article about daddy being made the chaplain of Harvard. I want to leave you on this subject with this thought. The paper of choice that Greg Epstein, the new chaplain at Harvard University, who is going to lead young people looking for direction around morality, ethics, and spirituality at the very least, if not religiosity, that newspaper, the New York Times, that Greg Epstein has proudly and enthusiastically had his son looking at and reading since age 2 as a source of information. The New York Times readers didn't know until 1944 what was happening to the Jews in Nazi Germany. And that's because the New York Times buried that story until 1944. If you know your history, most of the Jews were dead by then. They'd been put into the ovens. They'd been transported to the camps. They'd been herded like cattle. And they were well on the way to the final solution. The Nazis were by that time. And so I would use that as a point of reference when someone questions the validity or asserts the validity of a humanist chaplain, again, an oxymoron, now appointed at Harvard University, who would pride himself on teaching his child where to get the news from the New York Times, a paper that went way out of its way to obscure the Holocaust until the world could no longer turn a blind eye and millions of Jews and non-Jews had been burned to death. So I guess in closing out this podcast, I would say, in thinking for yourself, number one, words matter. And when you say humanist chaplain, those are oxymoronic words. They don't belong together. And a humanist chaplain doesn't belong at Harvard or anywhere else for that matter. Certainly not connected to the word chaplain or in the role of guiding people who are looking for some sort of spiritual guidance, if not religious understanding. And the other thing is that along with words mattering, so does where you get your self-image and your self-identity. And if you're getting it from Facebook or any form of social media, or you're getting it from agenda-driven news, or worst of all, if you're getting your sense of self or your physical identity from Zoom, you really need to reevaluate what you value, and most of all, how much you value yourself, that you would subject yourself to unreality to the extent that all of those forms of reflection represent. I'm Carol Gold. Thank you for listening. I'll be back here again on Wednesday. And until then, by all means, get your identity, your reality, and your sense of self by thinking for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.